Let's all stand together and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Thank you for being faithful and being here tonight on a Sunday night. We appreciate it. Nehemiah chapter 6. Of course, Nehemiah is a story about the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem. Go to Nehemiah and let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. We'll start in verse 1 tonight. We'll read the first 19 verses and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Nehemiah chapter 19 and verse number 1 says this. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And hast thou also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O Lord, strengthen my hands. Afterwards I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yet in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 55th day of the month Elu in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. And let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for, again, your word. We thank you for the encouragement it gives to us, Lord. It helps us in times when we need help. It encourages and strengthens us in times when we maybe are facing some obstacles or opposition in our life. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this story tonight, that we would learn some things that would help us to stay firm as individuals, to stay strong as a church, and to do that which you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, the book of Nehemiah is is talking about the wall being finished in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was the man that God had sent to do that work. He did it in an astonishing 52 days. He came, the wall was a wreck, the people were in discomfort, things were not going well, and he shows up on the scene, rallies everybody together, faces opposition, and in 52 days, the wall is built. Personally, Nehemiah had left a good position before the king that he had served while he was in captivity. He was a cupbearer. God gave him a vision when he heard of the plight of the people in Jerusalem, and he went, and God allowed him to go, and he finished the wall. At the point that we are at, the wall is about ready to be done. And all that, there was just a few things, really just a restoration of the gates and a few other things that needed to be done. The community would be able to live safely inside those gates. If the chapters leading up to this particular story, they had already had some external opposition and had kind of overcome that. And so the enemy comes back and kind of changes their attack. And now they're kind of going at Nehemiah from an internal perspective. The attack on the people had not worked. So they decided to focus their attack inwardly, particularly on the leader, Nehemiah. By the way, that's one of the tactics the enemy will always use. He'll see leaders or someone that's accomplishing something, and he'll go after them. Satan will do that. Look, leaders are always in a bad state, and no matter what they are. They're blamed for things they don't do, and then the things that they do, they're criticized because they did that. They are misquoted and misunderstood, and they rarely have the opportunity to set the record straight. And that's true of criticism of anybody. If they act quickly, they're reckless. If they take their time, they're unconcerned. The best way not to have anybody ever say anything against you or have any opposition against you, the best way is to do nothing at all. Don't strive to do anything for God. But that's not what the Bible wants. The Bible encourages us to go forward and strive to do great things for God. And so if you do, you're going to face some obstacles. You're going to face some enemies. They try to produce fear in their heart. That's what's going on here in this story. Why? Because if we allow fear to take over, we don't act, we react, or it slows us down. We get paralyzed by that fear, and we do nothing for God. By the way, when you're trying to do something, particularly even as a church, we need to step outside of our comfort zone. It's easy when everything's going well just to kind of status quo, keep everything going. Let's not go outside of ourselves. Let's not incur any new work, any new, debts, whatever it is, bills or increase, whatever it is. We don't want to do that. Just stick it out and do what you always have done. By the way, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And God wants us to get a lot more. We have to leave our comfort zone, and that takes faith. By the way, there's nothing wrong with a small element of fear or doubt. Faith is not the absence of fear or doubt. Faith is acting in the face of a little bit of fear and doubt. There's nothing wrong. Satan and just our flesh sometimes, we think of what could happen. We think of, and we our mind starts to turn, and we start to think like that. And there's nothing wrong like that as long as we act in spite of it, and it's just a fleeting thought, and we say, that's nonsense. We're going forward in faith, and we're going to do what God wants us to do. And it's always easy after the fact when you get into something to look back and say, well, we shouldn't have done that, or maybe we should have just done. No, if God wants us to do it, and in faith we said we're going to do it, let's go do it. And that's what God wants us to do as a church. And if we're trying to do right, we're going to face obstacles. That's just how it is. We have faced obstacles, and we will face obstacles as we are striving to finish our building. But God wants us to finish the building. There's a little obstacle. Maybe we should hang that. We're into this thing. Let's get it over with and let's go for it. Okay? No paralysis analysis. We're in this thing. God wants us to get it done. Let's do it. Don't let anything stop us. It's funny. We try to run our buses and run the bus ministry and reach people. And you get, look, this last year, the government, I call them, I'm not against the environment. I'm all for it. But listen, the green Gestapo. We can only drive our buses 5,000 miles a year. That's it. And by the way, just this is free. I'll throw it out there. When we were getting approval from the city, an environmentalist came and checked the emissions on our buses against the emissions of the new buses the city runs for the the bus you pick up and you pay a quarter and go down there. Our buses had better emissions than the new buses. But yet we can only drive them 5. So we're very creative. We have to track the mileage. And so you have to rotate the buses. So the bus routes that are farther away, it's ridiculous. But you know what? It's where we're at. We have to deal with it. But there's always obstacles. We're not going to stop running the buses because the city says you only get 5,000 miles a bus. We're going to run them. We're going to find a way to get it done. There will be obstacles as we seek to reach our community. We're going to do it. And by the way, if the city ever comes and says you can't go out and pass out tracts, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go pass out tracts. Okay? They have no right to tell us not to do that. They told a couple of our soul winners in Maywood, the police came by about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago and saw, what are you guys doing? We're out inviting people to church. They said, you can't do that. Stop. Now, if they would have tried to hold on to that position, we would have taken everybody in the church to Maywood and we would have went soul winning. They have no right. We're going to see opposition as we endeavor to start a team in China. It just, there are obstacles that come no matter what you do. And obstacles aren't something to stop you. Obstacles are something to overcome. God wants us to overcome the obstacles. Now, let's look at two things tonight. I want you to look at the obstacles in this story, and then I want to look at how those obstacles were overcome. Number one, let's look at the obstacles. By the way, as we have went through our series, we had a series in the church on Thursday night, we see that Christianity and all that's right and all that's in the Bible is under attack. A lot of things are under attack today. Morality is under the attack. We have all these alternate lifestyles, you know, guy with guy, girl with girl, a guy who thinks he's a guy with a girl who thinks she's, who knows what it is? But you know what? We stick with what the Bible says. Immoral lifestyles. Why get married when you can live together? Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, God says that's wrong. By the way, number 1A, God says it's wrong. B, God says it's wrong. But over and above that, the key to marriage is commitment. Living together kills commitment. But we have all these things. You know, there's one of these weird churches over by my house, and they have a sign up there. It says this: Jesus didn't reject people. Isn't that cute? Jesus didn't reject people. Now, you know what they mean by that? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. You can come into church. We're not going to tell you it's wrong. You can do whatever you want. Let's just come here and say we love God together. There's a Bible word for that. It is nonsense. That's not a Bible word. I just made that one up. Do you know Jesus didn't reject people? But you know people reject Jesus? And just because, to say Jesus doesn't reject people, you know what he rejects? He rejects anti-biblical lifestyles. And he rejects sin. And he rejects when we try to give to him that which he says is wrong. I don't know what we're getting off on, but we got to get back here. But our beliefs are under attack. Listen, you cannot read the New Testament epistles without seeing one of the things they fought in the early church was the beliefs. People were bringing false beliefs into the church. Now, that's always been the case. And so we need to stick to the scripture, but there are going to be obstacles. And we need to make sure that we fight and we go on track. What were some of the obstacles in this story? I want you to notice several of them. I want you to see the obstacles in the timing. In verse 1, it says, when they had heard that I builded the wall. In other words, the enemies were trying these other external attacks. That wasn't working. And they saw that he was building the wall, and they were getting close to finishing. And that time he said, you know what? We got to do something. You see, Satan attacks, and obstacles come to those that are trying to accomplish something. They are going forward. They are building something for God. You have to understand, if you're doing something that's right, you are going to have to face some obstacles. See, we live in a time of just weak Christianity where people are told if you get saved, God has a wonderful plan for your life and everything you do is going to come up roses. Do you know that's not true? Sometimes you are going to face hardships. Sometimes you are going to face things that you didn't think. I thought Jesus was going to make everything perfect. No, Jesus will be with you even during the storms. But the timing, it's always when you're doing something good. By the way, if we didn't want to have any obstacles, we shouldn't have built that building. Shouldn't even have put the patio up. We should have just been comfortable with what's going on here. But how many people would have been left out in the cold? Well, we have people sitting out in the cold tonight, okay? But how many people would have been left out? We don't fit anymore, so let's quit going out. Let's quit running the buses, and let's quit going out and trying to reach people that aren't coming to our church. Hogwash. When's the building going to be done? As soon as we have the money for it. We're going forward with the money we have, and really, the fact of the matter is, if we were bringing a contractor in to finish this building and we had all the money we needed, we'd be in that building within 5 months. But we can't afford that. We're doing everything we can not to put a financial strain on this church, but we're going to go forward and get that building done. But I don't care how long it takes. If we fill up in here, we'll stack people on top of each other. We're not going to stop. We're not going to let something stop. By the way, you know how it is. We've never done that. We have no room in here. We'll put you out there. We need a Sunday school class space. We'll put you in Ryan's backyard. We'll put you wherever we can. If we could get a class up on the roof, we'd do it. Okay, maybe we'll put the people up here that we don't like, and you'll make it slippery. But we gotta just keep going. Obstacle, the timing. We have a tendency when things are going well just to want to put it in cruise control. We want to take it easy. I read a book years ago by John Wooden, the famous basketball coach of UCLA. He said back before he coached at UCLA, he coached at some other small college. And he said he had a good player. And every time this player would score, this player would run down the court and he would look at John Wooden. And one day the player came to John Wooden and said, "Listen, every time I score a basket, I look at you and you're shaking your head no at me." He goes, "Man, I can't please you. What's the problem?" He said, "The problem is you're not supposed to be looking at me. You're supposed to be playing defense." See, when things are going well, we're kind of just taking it easy. We're not going to cruise around here. We're going to go out and do something for God. And if we are, you have to realize the timing when you're doing something, you're going to have obstacles. Also, I want you to notice their tactics. Verse 2, "Then Sanballat and Gershom said unto me, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages of plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief." See, they had the same tactics that always happened. They wanted to meet with him. You know, let's have a meeting about this. I mean, let's sit down and let's discuss this. He's like, "It's none of your business. I ain't discussing anything with you." You know, people that don't go to our church want to text back to some of the people in our church or us like, "Hey, what are you guys doing? It's none of your business. You don't go here. I don't want to hear it." Maybe you get to, you know, "Oh, I used to go to church there, and I heard you guys doing this. Why are you doing that?" Here's why we're doing it. It's none of your business. Okay? None. Get texts like that, and I don't answer them. They don't go to our church anymore. I don't care. You go to your church and ask your pastor about what they're doing. Leave us alone here. We ain't meeting. Were you sure you guys should have built that building? You're not here. You're not giving. Get out of here. And I'm sure we're supposed to build that building. Let's look, we don't have time. You know, churches split over the stupidest little things. What color the carpet is. You know, I just don't think green is very worshipful. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't like the color of this auditorium and you want to buy us some new carpet, we'll change it. You say, "What color is the carpet going to be in the new building? Are we going to get a committee together to kind of figure out what puts people in the frame of mind?" Now, unless you can find a color that makes people empty their wallets, we're not going to change it. I'll tell you what color the carpet is. The carpet mill in Georgia called us last year and said this hotel ordered all this nice carpet, and at the last minute they backed out of the order, and now we got this carpet sitting around here. You can buy it for $8,000. And we said, "That's my favorite color." Yep, that's what color it is. By the way, and we can't work on it now. We're working on the new building, and I'm not trying to complain. I'm getting us ready for the new building. That carpet in the hallway irritates me. I hate to come in the morning and see it. We're going to change it. We got a whole pallet full of them from Tabata for Humanity. Was it $400 for two pallets? And it's a carpet square. So it's nice carpet. Once we're with that building, or we can figure some other way, we're going to put that carpet in. You say, did you choose the color? You know what color we chose? The color on the pallet. And it's beautiful. Okay? The church want to meet and discuss and do all this and that. You know what that is? That's churches have split over, you know, the flowers they put on the Lord's Supper table. Some churches, every Sunday, they got it. We don't even have flowers. That's a waste of money. Unless you're giving your wife flowers, that'll keep you out of divorce court. Okay? Let's meet. Now, if there's a legitimate problem that needs to be dealt with, I get that. But let's not waste our time on things that don't need to. They didn't want to meet with him. They were trying to pull him away from the work. You understand that? They also wanted to move him. That was the key. You know, let's get you from that task at hand. We're not going to get off the task. What was their goal? They wanted to do mischief. They wanted to keep Nehemiah. They wanted to take him out. So let's look at their tactics. Let's look at their tenacity. Look at verse 4. And they sent unto me four times. Four times. No means no. Sometimes the kids will ask for something, and your kids are like mine. Hey, you know what? No. Well, but I just think that it'd be a good idea because no. But see, I was just thinking that maybe if we did no. And I'd say, listen, let me tell you how. The more you ask me, the stronger the no gets. Okay? No. And then, because it's a salesman tactic, as long as we keep asking you, you'll eventually get sick of it, and you'll say yes. I like to say no. No. It's easier to spell than yes. It has less letters, and it flows off the tongue. No! Yes. Yes almost sounds feminine. Now, if you say, I want to give $1 million to the church, yes. I'll even wear a pink suit. Okay? No, no. But they keep coming. Remember Pete Rose? I didn't bet on baseball until he needed money. And by the way, how many people started believing him because for years he kept saying, I didn't do it. And then, oh, poor Pete Rose, he's being persecuted. And guess what happened? He needed money, so he wrote a book. I did it. Okay? But people bought into it. You know what? He kept saying it. Don't be pressured into anything. See, as Christians, we're being pressured now. You know, all this pressure on Christians. Hey, ease up on these standards. Ease up on what you believe. And so we're like, well, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be nice. Okay, practice with me. No. No. Uh-uh. No way, Jose. Nada. Okay, you can be nice and say no. We think being nice means you have to capitulate, give in. I'm not giving in. Do what we're supposed to be doing. Well, we're just trying to appease people. By the way, we started to do that with terrorists. Well, if we appease them, they'll stop. Never. Never. That's like appeasing a lion. Appeasement is putting a lamb and a lion in a cage together. The only bad thing is you have to put a new lamb in every day. Okay? You can't appease people. If it's what God says, it's not up for debate. And so we need to stick with it. People just keep, look, don't be pressured into anything. And then next, another one of the obstacles was the tale, the story they told. Verse 5 to 7, they come to Nehemiah and they wrote a little letter here and said, well, listen, here's a letter we're going to turn on. It's almost like we're going to turn you into the principal. See, the reason you want to build a wall is so you could be a king and you have prophets talking about you and you want to be a big shot. They were questioning his motives. Always question. Well, you just want to be a big shot. You just want to do this or do that, or you guys are just trying to become this. No, as a church, we're trying to fulfill God's will. That's all. And you know what? Here's what our motive is. Ready? It's right there. Lift him up. That's our motive. Everything we do, it's to lift him up. Okay? Oh, but it's to lift him up. They question your motives. They question the message. So the tale, they'll say things about you. And then the last thing is this. You see the temple. You know what they do? It's like, all right, they get a false prophet saying, now Nehemiah, they're going to try to kill you. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to come hide in the temple. By the way, that would have made him look like a sissy. That would have made him look like what he was doing was self-serving. And by the way, that's not for him to do. They're trying to make him look bad in front of the people. So the enemy always is after us. Now, let me tell you, how do you overcome obstacles? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, don't react. Don't react. Verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? I like that. You know what he said? Hey, they send a messenger. Hey, we want to come meet with you, and we want to meet you, and oh no. He didn't even go talk to the guys. He sent a message. Go tell them I'm working. I ain't even come meet you. I get phone calls all the time. You know, they come through to my voicemail. Hey, you need to call us about this, and I want to talk to you. I ain't got time to talk to everybody. Okay? Secretary, you can give him a call back and tell him I'm busy. We don't have to do everything. But see, he didn't react to it like, oh no. I got to go meet with these guys. After all, they're trying to stop the work, and I've got to go. Hey, some things, just leave them alone. They have nothing to do with it, and let's just go forward and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. We react too often to things. The first thing happens, and we freak out, and we react. And that's what the enemy wants us to do, is to react. Don't react. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. We would see in some of the playoff games, and you ever see that there's after a play, one of the players will just give the guy a little push, and the other player gets mad and throws him, and what happens? He gets a 15-yard penalty, and he hurts his team. Don't react. You don't react. Okay, well, I heard so-and-so said this about the church and said this about you. Should you call them? Do they go to our church? No, I ain't calling them. I ain't giving them an email. I wouldn't give them a text. I'll buy them a cup of coffee, but I ain't going to do any of that. We got things going on here. Well, you know, there's some people in the city, they don't like, let's be kind and loving to them. Let's be Christians, but let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, we always feel like we have to react, we have to act out. No, calm down and just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Next, don't listen. Verse 8 and 9. Then said I unto them, there are no such things as thou sayest. But thou feignest them of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, thy hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. He was getting all these criticisms, and he's like, I ain't listening to it. I ain't listening to it. Okay? This is our church, but as a church member here, this is my church. As a believer, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to listen to criticism about this church. I'm not going to listen to criticism about Christianity. Now, if they come and say somebody was mean to me or something, then we'll work on that. But you know what I'm talking about, just the criticisms. Why am I going to listen? If someone comes and is just going to criticize my family, I ain't listening. Now, if there's something that happens, you know, you want to come criticize our school teachers, I'm not listening. Now, if you want to come and say, hey, maybe there was a little incident, and I, what happened here? Can we fix this thing? That's different. That's not criticism. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just, well, you know, those teachers over there are grossly underpaid. For what they do and for what they do for your children, they ought to have four times as much money. They ought to have as much money as we could give them. Okay? If our teachers left our school, you know what they'd get? A raise. They do this because they love your children. And see, you listen to the criticism. Now, you know, they're not, no. Seriously? Are your teachers perfect? No, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And by the way, you're not perfect. Okay? We listen to someone criticize, you know, Brother Joseph, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? You listen to that and you never give him a chance. Now, I don't know anybody criticizing him other than his wife. But, we listen to that and he doesn't have a response. He doesn't have a chance to respond. You don't know the whole story. By the way, there's two sides to every story. You know, we visit people that have visited church and stuff, and how you doing? Thanks for, my spouse, they're this. Listen, the spouse hasn't had a chance to talk. There's two sides to every story. Don't listen to somebody that's disgruntled. Don't be the person that's disgruntled. And then when we listen to that, our emotions take over, right? I told a story years ago, but several years ago, Hannah, Jessica, and I were at Chipotle. And so we get down, we get our burrito, that's what they serve there, and we sit down, we're eating. And I noticed there was a couple college kids sitting behind us, some guy and a couple girls, and they're 20, you know, young kids. And I'm like, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there eating, and I hear this noise. I'm like, man, what is that all about? And I'm sitting down, and I look up, and here's this college kid coming at me. He's got his hand open, his hand. He's like, I mean, really, and I'm thinking, this punk is trying to act like some kind of idiot in front of his girl, and I'm going to have to fight this guy right here. So I'm thinking, I got to get up and go with this guy. You know what I'm saying? And here he comes right at me. And he stops. I'm getting ready to hop up. Like, we're going to dance, cowboy. Let's tangle, partner. And he hop in, and right before I'm ready to jump up, he goes, oh, 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 oh. And he spits something out of his mouth. And he looks at me, and it's as nice as possible. He says, I'm sorry, I was choking. I'm thinking, someone might want to tell me something, okay? And then I noticed, I should have noticed it, he had like water and rice all over his mouth. I guess he started choking and he tried to drink it and he couldn't get it out. And finally he did. But I'm thinking, this guy is a punk. You know, I saw him sitting with his girlfriends and here he is trying to be Mr. Cool Cat. But he was choking to death. You know, our emotions get like that, doesn't it? We see things that aren't there. Okay, so don't listen. But next, how else? We don't react to it. We don't listen to the nonsense. We don't ignore it. I like verse 9. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. You know what he did? He took it to God. Now, I'll be honest with you. When someone's like that, I don't want to take it to God. I want to just take it to them. Okay, come on. How many are like that? It's like, let's tangle, partner. Let's get this thing over with, and we'll go our ways, and we'll both be happy. That's me. I want to get back at them. I want to speak my mind. I want to state my case. But you know what? Sometimes it's just best to let it go. The Christian thing to do, it's not the easy thing to do. The Christian thing to do is to pray for them. We've had neighbors, and most of our neighbors love us. Some have hard times every now and then, and we try to help them. There's one particular person, I'm not going to go into it. They've thrown nails under people's cars and stuff, not recently. And it's like, you know, I've talked to the guy personally. I've emailed him back and forth and tried to calm things down. I'd rather just run over him. Okay, I'll just be honest with you. Just take the hit for the church and get someone else to help here, and I'll do my time. But you know what I do? It's the hardest thing in the world. It's on my prayer list. Lord, you know, if there's someone that doesn't like us, I want you to, it's hard to even say. I want you to bless them. Now, my definition of blessing is different than God's. You know, it's like, Lord, I don't want to, you know what? I don't want to have a bad spirit with anybody. And I don't want anybody out there to have a bad spirit against our church. I don't. So I pray for God to just work that thing out and bless them and calm things down. We had a guy one time, he was coming to my singles class, and he was just causing trouble. And I put it on my prayer list. Lord, I don't want him here. I'd already told him that before. And so I started praying, Lord, just can he stop? And he stopped. And it was good for like 4 months. And sure enough, I quit praying for him to not be there, and he showed up. Thinking, there you go, I didn't pray, that's my fault. But listen, it doesn't. Instead of us reacting and going and making the argument us versus them, why don't we just go to prayer about it? You know, Lord, I don't want to have a conflict with this person. Why don't you bless them and just make this thing so that we can all just go our own way, or we can get together on this thing. Prayer. That's the part that's hard. Next thing is this: don't run. Don't run. Verse 11, he said, and I, should such a man as I flee? They were trying to get him off the wall. And you know what he told me? He goes, I ain't going anywhere. Sometimes when problems come, if we're not careful and we don't do some of the other things I've talked about,
We want to get away from the problem, don't we? We just want to, by the way, let me, you cannot run away from a problem because the problem will meet you there. Now, the problem may look different, it may be dressed differently, but it's still a problem. Look, here's a guy, and he has a relationship problem and he with his spouse, and he doesn't deal with it. Well, I'll go get me a new wife. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you get the new one. You haven't dealt with it. It's the same thing. Okay? Work it with this one. Change what you're doing. You know, my boss is just so mean to me. I'm going to quit. And you know what kind of boss you're going to get the next job? The same one. You know, it's like the kids. I am so sick of being told what to do. I'm going to join the army. That'll work. Good move. That'll be better for you. Okay? That's just how we are. Deal with the situation where you're at. Don't run. We have a very weak society. I hate to say it. We are. We teach our kids at the first sign of resistance, at the first sign that something's going wrong, take off. You know, sometimes it's good for them to stick it out. Well, you know, they're on the sports team and they don't get to play as much. I'm going to pull them off the team. That's the worst thing you can do. Sit there, pay your dues, and be a part of the team. You know, when I used to coach our teams, I coached football and basketball. And sometimes I have a guy that was great at football, but he wasn't great at basketball, and vice versa. And I talked to him like, hey, you're going to be on the football team? Oh, no, I'm a basketball guy. I don't want to just sit on the bench for football. I'm like, oh, okay. You mean like your backup's doing basketball? You don't want to do that in football. I'm like, no, you either play both or you don't play at all. Okay, it's just the first sign. Oh, things aren't going well. I'm taking off. Let's stand our ground. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Obstacles. The obstacles are only a problem when they cause you to quit or run away. Okay? The next thing is, and we've already mentioned running, don't quit. Don't quit. Verse 15. After all the nonsense in the first 14 chapters, tried this, tried that, tried this, tried that, tried that. Verse 15, so the wall was finished. Did you catch that? So the wall was finished. All the drama, all the nonsense, all the lies, all the this, all of that. Oh, by the way, the wall was finished in 52 days. Maybe it's because he didn't respond to all the nonsense. Maybe because he stayed on course and did what he was supposed to be doing. Learn to finish what you start. And the last thing is this, don't relax. What do I mean by that? Obstacles are always going to be there. And the minute we let our guard down, that's when we're in trouble. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying obstacles and opposition are a part of life. Get over it. Let's just go forward. Unless you want to hide under a rock or never do anything. Look, some of you, I'm a new Christian, man, and I'm gonna serve God, and I'm so excited about this. And Ben, you are excited. You even got a Jesus sticker for your car. Now you cut three people off. But anyhow, you got a Jesus. I got the fish. You know, the little. And then you go home, and one of your relatives says, what in the world happened to you, Jesus freak? And they start to give you a hard time. Oh, I didn't know. I thought everybody would just love me. Not going to happen. There'll be some people that don't like it, but that's okay. Be kind, be loving, stand your ground, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Obstacles, it's a part of life. They're only a problem when you allow it to change your actions. Let's not do that. As a church, let's go. Let's go forward. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's not anybody push us off of what we're supposed to be doing. Let's be at our work. Let's be the nicest people we can, but let's stay strong for the Lord. Anything we're doing, let's be overcomers. Let's not be overcome. Let's stand tonight.